This podcast is sponsored by Shredlights. Shredlights make the most versatile flashlights in the world that can be easily attached to an EUC, skateboard, bike helmet, scooter, one wheel, and much more. These pocket-sized lights pack a ton of power in a small form factor to go where other lights can't. They are rider-owned and operated and known for industry-leading customer support, with over 25,000 riders around the world who trust their products for their daily riding. So please check out this sponsor in the description below for a discount and also to support this podcast. Now on to our guest, Adam from Wrong Way. Be prepared. I'm like, why? Because he's like repairs these stuff. And I was like, he's like, the arc is going to be massive, those huge packs. And I was like, okay. And it was like, oh, this freaks me out every time. I can't. Nothing happens, but it's just like, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Well, nothing happens, but I recently reassembled my MSX, and I think I messed up either the cables or I messed up something, or I don't know, something was messed up. But I connected the battery cables, and then just, what's it called? These small fire thingies.
Like sparks?
Yeah, like sparks just started flying all over, like literally like whoosh, all over, and it got on my hand, and I got a free depilation of my finger hair by Gottway.
Whoa.
And like my hand was like black on the top. So
weird.
Yeah, I think with a Sherman either way, like, this wouldn't happen because they have this, I'll send you it maybe later via Messenger. It's like an ILR or something. It's like a small device that has the fuse inside and the balancing stuff.
Yeah, well, I've seen the like fuse. It's in a little its own box in the on the Sherman.
Yeah. That's the thing.
Yeah, it's like a flux capacitor. It's like Back to the Future.
Yes, the flux capacitor. Don't try to hide, 'cause I'm gonna
haunt you like an animal. Welcome back, everybody, to the Evolution Podcast. My name is Mickey, and today on the show, I have Adam Malitsky of Wrong Way. Hello. If you haven't seen his YouTube channel, very awesome YouTube channel. Probably one of the top YouTube channels in the EV space, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure you'll... Yeah, you'd make that face. But he was one of the original guys that I used to watch.
Really.
Probably right after you turned English. Before I was not watching when you were a strictly Polish channel. But if you guys haven't seen his channel, definitely head on over to youtube.com/wrongway. No? Is that...
I guess so.
You can type in Wrong Way and it should pop up first one. If not, like Wrong Way EUC or something, it'll pop up. Good to have you here, buddy. Today I think we talk about a few things, but I mean, let's just dive right into the juicy topic of the day. Gottway is having a bad year so far.
Yeah, definitely a bad start. Definitely a bad start, right?
Yeah, there's been quite a few fires. I think over the course of a year, we see a lot of fires, right? Like, well, a lot. That's the wrong choice of words. We see a few fires over the course of the year somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
But because I think they're all kind of back-to-back, it made everyone kind of, you know, have a panic attack.
Yeah, and it's sort of like... I think also, like, the issue became bigger than it sort of is because it was, like, one thing stacked to another. And then all the memes popped up and, you know, everyone that was like sort of not on the Gottway hype train also tried to, you know, fuel the fire, so to speak.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely it's a real concern and, you know, Bigodi should be very serious about it.
Yeah, I think let's try to name them. So we had the guy, he was in Poland. Yeah. Was he like the first? Yeah. Maybe.
Well, I think this was just after the Portland fire.
Oh, it was just one in after Portland.
Or same day, actually. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe I didn't even know about that.
It was the Monster Pro.
Okay. And the one in Portland was an MSP?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And that MSP in general hasn't really had issues, like, necessarily.
No. It was like a rock solid wheel, pretty much.
Yeah. So that. Definitely, that's the interesting part about all this is, like, some of these are not really related in, like, why, the potential cause. So we had those two, and then we had the e-wheels fire that made big news and sparked weird controversy online. I don't know if you've heard of some of these conspiracy theories.
Yeah. I mean, at some point, I cut myself off from that a bit. Mm. Like, I read through some of the articles, but I also was actually in contact with e-wheels a bit, so they told me what it was. So
yeah,
I'm like, okay, that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it is. So that was like probably the largest, but probably the least damage, I would say, right? Because like no human was involved necessarily. Like it just burned in the boat or whatever, and then got to states. Is there another one in Europe that I'm missing?
I don't think so, but there was also one in New York City, as far as I remember.
Oh, yeah.
It was also a MSP, I think. Or was it a Kingsong? I don't know. I think it was a MSP.
So those sparked a lot of attention and a lot of, like, distress. Like, people are kind of freaking out. And, like, it's weird because you can see, like, in the New York City Telegram chat room for... like a year now, probably I've been telling people, you know, you should probably have a fire blanket or like the stuff that kind of looks like kitty litter, that fire stuff that like firefighters use, but they make stuff specifically for lithium. I'm like, you should keep this near your wheels just in case. Find anything helps, something that can contain it if something happens.
Yeah.
And people go, yeah. And no one ever really has like bought it. But now we're seeing people like, sending photos like, look, I bought this, I got a fire blanket.
Yeah.
You know, true. And it's like, interesting. It took that, like I said, like what, 3 or 4 fires in like a week or two's time made people kind of perk up.
I mean, same here, actually. I was also very like not caring about the possibility of, you know, something happening to the batteries of the stuff I had at home. I have a lot of stuff at home.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually had just like a mini fire extinguisher. I mean, I had one, but it was really small, so I bought another one. But it's still like not the one that is like perfect for lithium-ion batteries. This one is a bit more expensive, but I have something now.
Yeah. So suppose, I mean, I'm no expert. My dad is a firefighter, so... I've asked him about some of this stuff and like, I'm not the expert, but talking to him, I was like, so, you know, I've seen this like kitty litter stuff for lithium fires. And I've seen like lithium fire blankets and different things. I was like, what do you think would be useful? I described a scenario. I said, you know, maybe you're sitting around your house watching TV and then you see the dreaded white smoke fly out of your EUC. Then you probably have like 8 seconds before a flame starts. I was like, what should someone do? And he was like, you know what? Out of all that stuff, just get a fire blanket and just drape it over your wheels when you're storing it. And I was like, storing it? He was like, yeah, like anytime you're not riding it, just drape it over it. So at the very least, if a fire starts, it'll contain it and even potentially just squash it as soon as, cause it can't breathe. There's no oxygen to it. And then at that point, he's like, you don't want to pour water on a lithium fire. It's just going to cause toxic fumes. So if you have like the kitty litter stuff and you have squashed the fire, like the flames aren't flying. I mean, you can use it either way, but he's like, then he said, I would uncover it and pour that on top just to make sure. And then as soon as it's cool, try to open the case if it's not burned through and then disconnect the battery. But you should get it outside first before you do that. But he goes,
yeah, for sure.
Some people in New York were telling me, they were like, oh, I don't think any of that's going to work because there's an outer shell. I'm like, my dad was like, that outer shell is going to be burned up in a second. Like if he's like, I've seen those flames that you've sent me videos of. That's serious. He's like, you don't got to worry about your outer shell. I mean, it'll be gone basically.
Be gone. Not be gone.
Yes. Good choice of words.
I mean, you said it first in the chat, I think.
Yeah. Like, so that's interesting. So what have you seen on your side of the planet? What are people talking about as far as all this?
Well, first of all, I'm glad like the conversation started. And I think like now a lot of people realize that, well, it's actually a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard actually lots of stuff that people want to do. But first of all, there are actually extinguishers which are destined for lithium-ion batteries, but you would need a lot of them, you know, if the whole battery pack is on fire, then you would need a lot of that to just extinguish it. And actually, Archie, who, where does he ride? I don't know. He rides a lot.
He's in Massachusetts.
And he rides a lot. And he actually told me that once a fire broke out when he was like modding a battery, but a couple years ago. And he told me like that he tried to extinguish it with 5 fire extinguishers, but I mean, turned down the flame, but didn't do like, didn't extinguish it totally. But then he just powered a lot of water on it, and then it it got extinguished. But, you know, I think the most problematic thing about batteries is that they get hot and they have just so much energy. And
yeah,
extinguishers for sure, but just get that thing out is, I think, like the main concern. But I've also seen like people like getting safes or stuff, or, you know, just metal boxes for the wheels, or thinking about it. But I don't think it's really a good solution, because then, you know, the safe will get hot, and then you would maybe get even more issues with that. So I think the most important thing to do is to, for manufacturers, for actually like just make their wheels not not burst into flames.
Right? Yeah. I mean,
so there's,
when I was looking into stuff, like I mentioned that like kitty litter stuff, I could probably put a link down below if people are curious about it. I feel like it's called EX Block or EX Cell or something like that. But I've seen their videos of it in action, and that actually would have been perfect for Archie's fire situation, because it completely suffocates it. You pour it on top. It's amazing. You watched their demo video. It was a fairly large, I mean, the pack probably wasn't as big as an EUC pack, but it was a fairly large flame.
Oh, it was a battery pack. Okay.
Yeah, it was a battery pack. It was probably more like a demo of like an oversized laptop battery or whatever they were using. I forget what was in the, but it looked like a serious battery pack. So they just pour this all, like the flame is high, and they're just like shoveling the sand, so to speak, all over it. And then within a matter of seconds, the flame was gone. And if you understand how fire works, if there's nothing, if there's no oxygen for it, it can't ignite. So eventually, you know, I think once it's cooled down, that's when you'll be safe to try to yank it apart or whatever. But basically, that the first thing obviously you want to do is kill that flame.
Okay, that makes sense. I need to check it out then.
Yeah. So like, that's why I recommend that, because the extinguisher, as you kind of mentioned, it's like expensive, and you probably would need a bunch of them, because it's like, oh, I'm sure Archie went through one and was like, this is not working.
Yeah.
That's not what you want to happen.
I guess that's what happened. Yeah.
So I think that I have a video coming out soon. So by the time this airs, it might be the next day or so after we record this, but on Friday I have a video coming out about one of the main safety things I think that these companies should be doing to help mitigate that. It's not a complete prevention, but it is a huge way for us to understand what's going on. But you recently made a video talking about like a laundry list of things you'd like to see in EUCs.
Yeah.
It's not actually just all safety. Some of it's actually just like really convenient things. Yeah. I liked the glove box idea. I think that's good.
Cool.
It just like, you know, keeping a few tools in there, or, you know, in tandem with that, I really like the internal charger idea. And I didn't even think about, I have that Ninebot scooter. Didn't you mention that?
Yeah. The Ninebot Max.
Yeah. I have that right behind my camera over here. And I was like, I didn't ever realize that, like, that's technically an internal charger.
I mean,
obviously I have the plug and I've plugged it straight in, but I never clicked. And I was like, oh, this is like reshaped my brain as to what an internal charger might look like. Because all I'm thinking like an idiot is like, you know, I have it over here, but one of these chargers, well, maybe that's how Gotways trained us, right? They would just shove an actual charger inside the unit cycle.
Inside the glove box, maybe, and then you can never use it.
Yeah.
But then it would also take up less space probably without the case, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, is like, there's got to be a... I'm sure Ninebot figured it out, because I've never really seen a fire off of the internal charger on that scooter. But yeah, how do you make that safe, you know, as far as like keeping a charger inside the unit? But that's super useful. You know, everyone, when I mentioned it to the people here in New York, and I was like, you know, an internal charger wouldn't be a bad idea. The first thing they go is, yeah, it'd probably just be 3 amps. And I'm like, okay, well, that's great. Like, if I,
yeah,
like, can you, if I always don't ever have to carry a 3 amp charger around, that's fantastic. You know, if I really need a fast charge, I'll carry a fast charger, you know? so I don't have a problem with that. I mean, you made the list, but what are some other ones that you are like the top in your head from your long list?
Well, there was a lot of things, obviously, but I think the charger was one of those things. Mm-hmm. I really like the idea of having like good lighting. I mean, at least like a daytime running light and a like V11 shaped light that you use for like night rides.
Yeah.
Or, just, you know, the Sherman spread. Also has a great light. Yeah, the Sherman also has a great light, but, you know, the beam is round, so it always like sort of blinds people a bit. So I think like lighting and reflectors would be really nice in terms of safety. Mm-hmm. And I think there needs something to be done about like the overpowered thing in UCs, because, you know, UCs are very weird because you don't have a throttle. Like, the throttle is just connected to your body. So,
right.
Like, how can you prevent, you know, the overpowered, for example, a, I don't know, heavier rider gets on the S18, you know, accelerates and he will have a cut off instead of, you know, just bringing him back. And how do you do that? Like, one thing to do is naturally the beeps that we have. And, you know, now with the, like, the only good thing, like, okay, there's a couple of more good things. But one good thing about the Rurock is that I hear absolutely everything. Like, I even hear beeps on the MSX, which are quite quiet.
Really? Okay.
So, yeah, that's really a good thing about it. Like, lots of bad things, but this is good. But
yeah.
I think we need something more than beeps. Like, maybe like a vibration in the foot plates, because I mean they can do it in software, like tick, or
yeah,
some
they can.
Sort of tilt back, no idea.
Well,
yeah,
I think at the end of the day, though, I actually have been told it's physically impossible, but I think for the sport to progress to more mainstream, like, I think the only place in the world where it's like mainstream is Russia, maybe. Like, their scene is huge. Like,
yeah, that's true.
Moms
that's
and really kids, like outside of Chinese kids in China, like moms and kids and everyone there is like riding them. But I think for the rest of the world, like for it to become more mainstream, the idea, like most people who are like not in our world, who maybe we tell them about it, the moment they hear this potential of like a cutout, they're like,
yeah,
what? Like, because like nobody wants to gear up. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a casual person who wants to just like maybe use this, you know, to take your kids to the grocery store or whatever, like the concept that you might just like face plant is bizarre.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I have the Ninebot Mini Pro or whatever that thing is called, the two-wheeled one from Ninebot.
Oh yeah. I know this one. Yeah.
I don't know if they like guarantee a no cutout, but like I don't fear cutting out on that, you know. Like, I just don't feel like that's in its realm. Like, it only goes like 11 miles an hour, and it has severe tilt back like at the top end, so you would really just have to barrel through that. But I think there's got to be a way, if possible, if someone can figure it out, to just make cutouts almost irrelevant. Like, again, but I've been told that's probably physically impossible due to like how an EUC works. But yeah, I think tilt back, I'll say this, I have a bit of insider info on this, but tilt back can be used at extremely high speeds. So that's a thing that Gotway can completely start using. Now that I know this kind of stuff exists, I'm like, why does Gotway not have that? I mean, obviously you can overpower, you push through it. Still, for the regular rider who isn't determined to blow through a tilt back at X amount of speed, like, that's probably par for the, like, Gotway should have that, I think, at this point.
Yeah. But I also think it's like two things about Kato. Like one thing is obviously the top speed, mm-hmm. which you can, you know, turn off the tilt bag in Veterans and Gotway wheels or Bicodi. Mm-hmm. But the second thing is like acceleration and mm-hmm. Acceleration or, you know, hill climbs. Because if you go the same speed going up a hill, you will use up more power. And
right.
especially if you are a heavier rider, then it's also more possible to, you know, overpower a wheel. Like, you know, you can, I was recently just riding on the MSXs and the Teslas and whatever, and I got on the M10-3 and I nearly face planted because I accelerated like on these other wheels.
Yes.
So what you do then, you know, what is the remedy for that?
Right.
Like, one thing probably would be to, like, I don't know. One weird thing, maybe you noticed this as well. You rode the S18, right?
Yes, quite a bit.
And if you pull the trolley handle to like the middle position, it sort of like tips over if you accelerate.
Yeah.
Well, like if you push it too quickly.
Right. What you're experiencing is their fix for something that the night I got the demo, when I think after Coogee, I was probably one of the first people to have it. I had a meeting with King Song and we talked about all the things that I'm like, immediately, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And more than half of that list, King Song was like, suck an egg, you know? And I was like, oh, okay. I guess that's just how you roll. But one of them was I told them, when you go to put down the trolley, if you're not quick enough or whatever, because it is weird, right? Because at the bottom, you have to like move your fingers out of the way. I was like, if you're not quick enough with it, it would turn the wheel or turn the gyro off and it would just face plant. Yeah. And they were like, well, you just have to get better at it. And I was like, I mean, if we were just talking about a device you made for me specifically, fair. Mm-hmm. But remember, like I was trying to tell King Song, I'm like, maybe I'm the bad guy to you guys, but I'm thinking about the population. You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to help you. Like, I'm thinking about what everyone else is going to do. And eventually, enough people complained months after I first explained it to them. Mm. And then they did that weird half gyro-y thing, right? That's kind of what it does now.
Yes. Yeah, the half gyro thing. Because, like, the speed is limited then. So that's why it tips over, right? So the question for me is, like, if we do tilt back, so we have like a great power reserve, mm-hmm. and then, you know, the wheel goes in front of you and tilts you back, or possibly do we do it the other way around and the wheel starts to sort of tip over and you as a rider need to, you just notice it and you're like, you know, just need to get back. I had that on the S18, like when I accelerated to like 40 kilometers an hour, like 25.
Yeah.
And then suddenly, you know, the pedals dipped and I'm just like, what? And then I know, right?
Well, that's probably just the gyro failing. That's like what they say, the New York guys say, got way at high speed. If you like really do a fast acceleration, like above 40 on certain gotways, you'll feel it dying, right? So
I feel that on the MSX.
So my gut is that's not the way we want to go, because you already described how scary that was.
I know, you don't need more power then.
No, I think a greater reserve is, like, so for example, most people don't know or care, but like for in-motion wheels, typically, like, like their lift speed will be way higher than like a Gotway. Like, obviously, they don't make fast wheels yet. Maybe one day.
Yeah.
But like their reserve is so much higher, right? So like,
Tilt back starts very early as well.
Yeah. I mean, I think for what it's worth, out of all the companies, InMotion is actually in it for the long haul. I feel like, you know, we just saw with the V11, they finally upped their game a little bit, still on the conservative side, but I can see a pathway for them to the eventually being like a high speed, making a high speed wheel that is safe compared to someone like Gotway, you know? But yeah, so
or King Song.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting because King Song for most people was like, maybe I'm wrong, but like was on par with InMotion as far as like quality.
Yeah.
But it seems to me over time they've become So we've got three categories, right? So we've got InMotion's the most reliable quality type wheel, but they're conservative. King Song is just the most stylish, you know, forward-thinking design, but their quality is a little less than InMotion. And then we've got Gotway Bigode, which is enthusiast level, crazy power and speed, but the quality is just trash.
Yeah, a little worse. A little worse.
It's like, I mean, because...
Like, the problem...
Go ahead.
The problem for me with InMotion is that, like, from the performance side, I don't know what they do to their motherboards, but, like, I don't feel that they're really, like, powerful in terms of, like, all of their lineup. Like, I ride my wheels always the same, and I've just burned a motherboard on the RS, which was really weird, by the way, because I was just going up a curb, like three curbs. Mm-hmm. But apart from that, I didn't burn like any Gotway going up a hill. Like M10-3, I did like the highest climb I can do with it, the MCM5, like Tesla. But InMotion wheels, I killed the V5, the V8F, the V10, and I could probably kill the V11 as well, but I didn't like push it that much.
Yeah. I wouldn't. It's probably their MOSFETs, right? Like, I'm just thinking. I'm no engineer, but like that, they must not be using, which is weird because remember the Nikola when it first came out, Marty like blew the MOSFETs and I think they upped the game. It's like, what? Why is anyone using too small of a MOSFET? Like, is it that expensive? Mm. Like, I don't. At this point, I feel like there should be a power reserve, and like your pieces of the puzzle should be able to handle, you know, X amount more than would ever be drawn from it.
Yeah, that's true.
So I think the like, V11, Yuko told me they said the V11 MOSFETs are too small.
Yeah, I mean, there are multiple cases of the V11 board burning after going several times downstairs or like doing really rapid acceleration.
Weird.
Like, I didn't do that much, but I had a friend here in Warsaw who had a blown motherboard, and he's also told me there's been several cases of that. So yeah, and on most other InMotion wheels, I usually burn the fuse, so they just can't handle that many amps. That's my feeling.
Right. Well, I think maybe if I'm going to give them any benefit of the doubt, which still they need to up their game, is they probably for so long were just sat in this like last mile device, really underpowered wheel, because the industry weirdly took off very quickly in the last couple of years up to this like high level enthusiast thing, and then people became like really good riders or more aggressive riders like almost overnight, where before that stuff was like back when the ACM was around, like people weren't riding the way they are now. So I feel like China couldn't quite catch up as far as like their mindset. I feel like the parts exist. They just didn't quite understand like how we ride. That's just my like,
might be the case.
My thought. Yeah. But still, that's at this point, there's no excuse. We all talk about this all the time. There's a whole culture around this stuff now. We're doing a podcast about EVs.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
Like, at this point, like, if you think here's the top line of power draw and everything, just make it like 25 to 30% more. Every part should be able to handle that much more. And then still keep your power draw like limited to whatever you want the wheel to do, but allow all of your parts to handle 25, 30% more.
Yeah, that's a really great attitude. Yep.
And then obviously, so like the S18's problem is its tiny battery, right? That's why that's going to be overpowered quicker than most other wheels.
Yeah. Like, it's two things. It's like the small battery and the batteries itself, they can't handle that many amps.
Yeah, so they're like rated, right?
Get different batteries. Yeah. So I think like most manufacturers, when it comes to these 21700s, use the LG batteries, like M50T, and they're pretty cheap. But they don't have such a high power draw. And the second thing is that they don't really work well in cold temperature. Wait, I need to just turn on my camera once more so you have the footage.
All good.
All right. It's recording again.
Cool.
So that's the first thing. And you can get like different batteries, like Samsung's or whatever. There are a multitude of batteries. But the problem with these LG ones is that, like, for example, you can take from one cell 8 amps if it's warm, or like 7 to 8 amps. Mm-hmm. But if you have like 0 degrees outside Celsius or 10, I don't know what it's Fahrenheit, probably like 50, 70, I don't know.
I think 0 degrees Celsius is like 32 Fahrenheit.
Okay. Okay, so 32. I need to learn that.
I like, because 0 Celsius is the freezing temperature for snow, correct?
Yeah.
So that's 32 Fahrenheit.
Okay.
But it's not so like
32 probably to like...
Hmm? I was going to say, it's not. I don't think it's a 1 to 1. So like, I don't think 1 degree Celsius is 33 Fahrenheit. You know, it just gets weird after that. Not. But yeah, the baseline is 32 for us, 0 for you.
Yeah, so anyways, like 32 and upwards, like not much warmer. The batteries can just draw like 1/4 of the amperage, so like 2.5 amps. Mm. And that's where like problems start. If you have like a high power wheel, it just can't draw the same amount of power. Yeah. You can damage the batteries. And the S18, especially like if it's cold and you don't have even that many batteries, like that's not a good combination.
Yeah. I guess it was in the for design purposes, but like, I don't quite understand why they went so tiny. I mean, because at first I thought, okay, well, design, and they wanted to keep it light, right? But the reason why I was giving them that like out was like, okay, they want to keep it light, and it's for the design, lightness being useful for when you're jumping things and taking this. But we've kind of all seen these guys over in Seattle here in the States that are just jumping crazy stuff with RSs and MSPs. So it's like,
yes,
clearly like the weight shouldn't have never been a consideration for King Song. If that's what they, I don't really know. I think it was more design, but yeah. And then what are your thoughts on external batteries? Cause that was like a thing they were floating. I was like, that's weird. Mm. I don't want my battery outside ever.
Yeah. I am on the same train as you are. Like, yeah, no, just no. probably I would, you know, EUCs are now flat, and I don't really get it why the sidewalls are flat, because lots of people now are installing, you know, Clark pads, Russian pads, whatever pads. And this means that, you know, EUCs should have a different shape. They should be like, you know, the sidewall should be thicker in front and in the back of your wall when you could just put more batteries inside, and close to your leg, there should be thinner. And, you know, just put more batteries there. Like, but external batteries, like I know that one wheel riders used to do that a lot because, you know, their battery is just very petite.
Right. Yes.
But
it's a good way to say it.
But on wheels, like, I don't really get it. Like, maybe in a seat, I would put it there, like maybe like in a block that you sit on, which is like really securely fastened and has, you know, epoxy layers around the battery. So it's like some sort of safe, but not really a fan of that.
Well, yeah. I mean, I never watched a bunch of his stuff before, but I was watching a bunch of Phantomus' stuff on YouTube. And over there, he gets all his batteries and his control boards like doused in this white stuff. I don't know what it is, but it seems like a useful thing. I'm considering later today, I'm going to take my Nikola control board, because I've been using that for Polo, which has a lot more drops, low speed drops and things. Like if I'm like, we're playing and we get really aggressive, like, and I have to, it's either smash into a guy or just kind of just hop off the wheel and bail at like 2 miles an hour. I just do that. I'm like, I hop off and it just hits the ground. Now I do have, actually, no, I don't. So I don't have any Clark pads. So there's no, it's just straight. So there's a lot of jostling happens. So,
ouch.
So I'm going to like, not potting compound, but I have this other stuff that I'm going to be spraying all over it to try to keep things in place and also protect it from moisture. But that's one of the big things that we all kind of wish was better. Every time I mention to somebody, they should be coating these control boards with better material to keep, you know, moisture out.
Yes. 'Cause
like like the RS, it just has giant holes straight to the control board. And quite a few people have cut out mid-ride at low speed and very high speed due to that. The first thing everyone always says, because I think people are just low information riders, but they're just like, I've seen a coating on there. Like, it's not doing anything. It's useless. Like, so I don't care what they're doing. It's not working. So they should invest in something better. Supposedly there's this stuff. My good friend Francisco, he has bought some of it, but it's also shock absorbing. This like stuff you can paint on there as well. I'm not sure how that works, but that would be useful for people who are on like rough terrain or jumping or whatever. But have you seen this white goop that Phantomus just drizzles all over? He has like a guy do it locally.
I mean, I didn't see like what Phantomus does, but I know like from the e-bike world that there's like a lot of stuff that you can do to make controllers and batteries safer.
Yeah. I mean, because the blue wrap that's around all of our batteries is...
It's just a shrink tape.
Yeah. It's funny because I was talking to someone once and they were like, no, it's sealed. I'm like, that is not a seal. That is just glorified like shrink wrap, basically. Just like a harder version.
Yeah, I think
that's
a really, really, really important thing to do, especially at Gotway, you know, because if you look at the Emotion wheel, you look at the, I just disassembled the V10F like yesterday and it is like the battery is on the top and it's snugly fit in between the two shells. So there's like no place to rattle around.
Right.
And it has, apart from the blue shrink tape, it has another layer of plastic, which is around the battery. So this is already better. And on the V11, you have these plastic casings, which have no air inside. I think like the big problem in Bigodi wheels is that you have a set, just the blue shrink tape, and you know, the batteries can come loose because of all the falls, and you know, maybe they're just not connected well enough. And
well, yeah, like you said, in motion, loose. That plastic thing secures it to the inner shell.
Yeah.
Where Gotway, it's just like stuck. So if that tape is not sticky anymore, it's just held up by like your outer shell, basically, which is there's room for it to move.
Yeah. Yeah. And the batteries can just move also upwards. So like if you look at the MSP shell inside, like from the bottom, there's like a bit of this rubber, and on the sides as well, you have it like in all pretty much Gotway wheels. Like there's a bit of foamy bits.
Yeah.
I don't know, on the bottom of the battery and on the sides. But, you know, if anything just becomes a bit loose or just, you know, normal wear and tear, and I think on the top there's not everywhere, like plastic that holds the battery together, then you're just screwed if one battery just gets loose.
And, you know, one of the other things I noticed, because when I got the EXN and the Monster Pro from eWheels, there was... Well, the batteries came separately, so they're in a whole other package. So I had to put them all together. And the first thing I noticed was like the main issue was the wire that comes out of the battery was coming out like the top right corner or whatever of each of them. And where they sit in the shell is a natural pinch point. And I'm like, if for whatever reason the answer is, okay, we have to bring the wire out the corner, fine. But why was that not considered in the shell? We're like, literally, it is just pinched. I'm like, this makes no sense. And it was stretched. It was like the battery had like, I was like, I had to like figure out how to like pull the cable from the control board to make it fit. I'm like, what? Like, this is the stuff that's like, I don't understand why they're afraid of slack in their cables. If the answer is, oh, if it touches the board, it could short. Okay, coat your board. You know, like, there's just no reason that you should be like that tight on a wheel that just gets jostled compared to like when I know a lot of e-bike guys here in the city, and you know, they have suspension, so their battery is all encased much better than ours. Generally like in the middle of the bike, and on top of that they've got suspension, so it's not being jostled nearly as much as what we have.
Yeah, And they also have like this another layer of plexi or epoxy around the batteries themselves, and then like another layer of shrink tape or whatever. So these batteries are also like, there's no way for them to move around.
I think that all of these manufacturers could be coating their batteries much better. Also,
yes,
could stand to be that they need to hire better people that put the batteries together, because I think sometimes we're having like bad solders and stuff, and that can cause the short. And
yes,
that's a problem.
Yes,
and it's like, yes, I don't understand why you can't figure this out at this point in the game. I've been telling people lately, like, stop buying Gotway Bagode wheels for a year. If we all just band together and stop buying, they will get their act together or go out of business. It's like, we are not helping ourselves by all the enthusiasts purchasing the moment it goes onto the market. It's like, they know this by now. It's like China finally figured it out, right? Like, they figured out how to be true capitalists, and they know that the moment this thing is announced, there's 1,000 pre-orders with my e-wheel and e-wheels and e-rides, like for all the high-end wheels. So like, this was my whole thing, my review in the Monster Pro, which now I really loved. I don't know if you saw Ian Speedy Feet's review on the Monster Pro. He's like,
I saw it.
Dude, my whole thing is like, for the money, what a piece of junk. Like, it's like,
yep,
that's ridiculous. If you told me this large thing as is cost $2,000, I would be more accepting of it. But the fact that it's like double that price is crazy. But yeah, his review is hilarious. That he was just like, yep, this thing's awful. It's so bad that I'm not stocking this wheel at my company. And in fact,
I'm not riding it anymore. It's up for sale.
In fact, I'm going to sell the demo unit. Anybody wants, I'll sell it to you cheap right now. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
So yeah, they should.
It was a good video.
They should take that seriously, you know? And we as consumers, just like, also like, aren't people like hurting for money right now? Just relax. Stop buying Gotway for a little while. Like, let them work it out, because you're not giving them time or the incentive, really, to fix the fix any of the issues. I mean, I think all these companies should find a way to up their QC, up their just their quality in general.
Yeah, that's true. That's very true. Like, Veteran, right? I mean, they did the motherboard right for sure. Like, did you disassemble a Veteran?
Yes.
Already?
I recently took mine completely apart and did an inner tube change and cleaned it all out. And you know what I found? Not one speck of dirt or moisture was in or around that control board.
Yeah. Because they did it right. Because, you know, you have to... Yeah. Well, I think one problem with wheels is, like, in general, is that the motherboard is somehow on the side and it has the heatsink in the wheel well, right? So the heatsink is directly like in contact with fresh air. So, you know, once something breaks there, like one of these cheap wooden screws or one of the silicone or whatever, or the shell breaks, then, you know, everything just comes in. And Veteran, when it's like reconsidered everything and they put the motherboard on top, and the vent is underneath, and, you know, this is just a vent. There's no wheel well. There's, you know, there's just a separate compartment.
So that vent that comes at the front and the back, that, that air is passing over the heatsink, correct?
Yes, exactly.
Or under,
so
or
it's, it's just like a tunnel underneath the motherboards. And that's how it should be done.
Yeah.
Like, it could be like also like that on the side, but on the top you have the most room. So that's what they did, like, really.
And I heard they also got fuses stuff too, like, like water test, like rode it through puddles and tried to figure out how to solve some of these issues.
Yeah,
which we all basically know that some of the other companies don't at all. They just like have an idea, put a wheel together, and go sell it.
Yeah, and let the riders test it. Like, I was also like really keen on trying out the EX and the Monster Pro, and my e-wheel wasn't stocking it for a bit, and didn't take like the demo unit and whatnot. And, you know, I always work with them. So I thought, okay, fine, whatever. We'll wait until they work it out with their bearings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after I had this cutout on the EX when I was just going downstairs, that's where I realized, like, maybe I'll wait a bit. And, like, I really wanted to test the Monster Pro because, you know, E-Rides had it and, you know, UC sale. But I always was like, maybe I'll wait a bit. You know, I'll wait it out. Yeah. And, you know, fair enough, the Monster Pro from the UC sale shop just catched on fire. And, you know, if it catched on fire there, like, I didn't know what would happen to me. Like, I'm not riding really carefully with my wheels. So yeah. I'm really glad, like, I didn't take it. Yeah.
Yeah. I really, really like the EXN. For me, it is the mm-hmm. most fun wheel Gotway has ever made. And obviously you can see how it's probably going to compete with the Sherman a bit, but in my eyes, the EXN is just an MSP killer. If you can afford the extra weight to it, if that's not a problem for your lifestyle. I have a review coming, but the only drawback really to it, aside from the hollow bore issue, which is why I haven't dropped the review yet, is because the bearing completely rusted out. And so it just,
oh wow.
So we had the local E-Wheels repair guy here try to fix it. He cleaned the bearing, but it's a bearing. So it's like, it's never going to be 100%. So even after cleaning, it still sounds like metal is grinding when you ride it.
Ouch.
And it was leagues better because when he took it apart, there was like, he would spin it freely, the bearing, and it would barely do one rotation. Right?
Oh my God.
The bearing. So after he cleaned it, it would do like 10 rotations, but even still, it's loud. It just like this grinding sound. So now when it's back on the wheel, so I have it here, it's not the same. It's sluggish. But the whole point, the EXN was the most torquey, like just hyper acceleration Gotway wheel I've ever ridden, and I was like, this is killer. I think people are gonna love this, especially bigger riders too, because I think it actually is rated potentially for like a larger, heavier rider. But it's just sad that like there's a fundamental flaw with the design of these new hollow bore wheels, where to me it seems as if someone told them about this giant bearing thing and they were like, ooh, I can see the benefits. They put it together, sold it, and like never did a veteran style thorough test of riding it through just giant puddles or whatever else. They would have found out pretty quickly, because the bearing on my EXN went, here's how quick. So it snowed in New York and I was riding my Sherman around in that. It's like the perfect snow wheel. I know you know this.
It is. Yes.
you still have to be a little careful, but I was riding like, as it was snowing, it was super fresh, and ours was pretty powdery that time, but it wasn't like a wet snow. So the next day, the snow was done. So now we have like Manhattan and Brooklyn streets. I have been plowed a bit. It's still a bit slushy on the street. I rode the, at that point, I said, now the salt is out. I'm not riding the Sherman. So I rode the EX 1 mile from my office to my apartment and 1 mile back, bearing ruined.
No. Oh my God.
This is the point. That's why I was like, it's not like I like rode it for a week through slush, like 2 miles of riding did it.
That's really bad.
So
that's really bad.
I spoke to a ton of people. I spoke to Merlin Fish. He's been doing this thing where he was drilling holes through the aluminum hub on the motor. All these Americans have all these potential ideas to fix it, and the thing that struck me as crazy is they're just trying to fix something. So he had to replace 18 RS bearings, Merlin. So he is a kind of a local repair guy in Seattle, but his honest sort of try to fix this design flaw, he showed to Gotway. He said, I hope you guys don't mind, what I'm doing is drilling these holes and blah blah blah. They went, cool, we'll do the same to all of ours. Which is like a ridiculous, imperfect Gotway response. Oh, we see you're drilling holes in your hub. We're just going to drill holes in all of our hubs. What?
Oh my God.
That's your solve? Like, that's crazy. So this is why, like, behind the scenes, I haven't talked about it too much because I was trying not to like smear Gottwit. You know what I mean? Like, I was trying to just be hold back because I know the weight of what we say people take seriously. But at this point, I was like, I can't hold back anymore. It's just like, this is problematic. And I know this is kind of like a bit of a bash session here, but it's just like, they can do better. They've just chosen not to.
Yeah. Yeah. That's very true. Yeah. I mean, I feel like most, I mean, I don't know like how the company looked like before, but I feel like a lot of the good engineers that were at Gottwit just went to Veteran.
Yeah.
So I think that's that. And like, for me, the issue is that I think it's the same for you. I love to ride these Gottwit wheels. Like, when they ride, they're like, they're great. Like, before you could say, you know, they had a whatever, a shitty shell or whatever, but when they ride, they're like amazing.
Yeah.
And I think like the EX, even the EX is like such a great wheel to ride. And probably I would like consider it over the Sherman. Because like for me, I just like, you know, doing the stair stuff. Yes, just hear me out. I like doing the stair stuff. I like doing hill climbs, and the Sherman is like not that good at hill climbs.
Yeah.
And you know, I like the heavy turns, and you can like turn so nicely on the EX, right? You can just take these turns at ridiculously high speeds.
So it's not because of the suspension, it's just all the other stuff. It's not like the suspension isn't why you want that over the Sherman, it's all the other stuff.
Like, I like the suspension, like, don't get me wrong, it helps me out like in big bumps, so I think it's cool, but it's like an add-on as far as I see it. But it's also like a main, I don't know, maybe it's also the main feature. I didn't ride the EXN yet, so I don't know how to compare it, but mostly it's the high pedal clearance, that they're really high off the ground.
Yep.
It's the ridiculous torque that you need to like fight for, and it's also like how you can take the turns and how you can lean into the turns, which I can't do really on the Sherman.
Well, let me tell you, without giving too much away, there is a wheel coming that is not that silly EX that hits all those boxes perfectly for you. There is a wheel coming that you'll be like surprised by, like, whoa, all those things you just described that you really are enjoying, like just high pedal angle, seriously deep carves. It's coming. So stay tuned for that. It's coming out this year. That's interesting. So like, I have the EX here as well, but my biggest issue with the EX, well, you know, the suspension is just kind of, and like the way you pump it is kind of ridiculous, but.
Oh no, like it's so bad. Like, I can't think, like, how did it come to this?
Putting that aside, my biggest thing with the EX is just the design itself lends it to be a bit of a more niche wheel in the sense of like, I wouldn't make it an everyday rider around a city. I just feel like, so for example, because the weight is naturally so high because of the suspension, it's like lifted off the wheel almost. It's almost like disjointed. When you go to stop, the first thing happens is you lean your weight back. Then the weight of the whole case or whatever starts to come back. And then the gyro starts to stop. So it's like three things happen where
it's really hard to brake on it. Yeah.
So the EXN, that's not the case. You can stop pretty well on the EXN because it's not disjointed like that. Because the first thing we all thought is like, ooh, powerful motor. Might have some really good acceleration and braking or whatever. Which I think Sherman has shown us all that like, you can do different things with different specs. It's not complete one for one. Like, you know, and somebody that I was just reading or hearing about, Was it Speedy Feet had like awful range test on the Monster Pro? Was it him? Someone got like
I think
60
so, yeah.
miles or something
yeah,
out of that massive battery. Which just proves that like, so the Sherman, I mean, depending on how fast you're riding and where you're riding, is just this lower specs in a lot of respect and does outperforms in certain ways. So anyways, the point is it's not just a one for one, but yeah, so the EXN is like, a really powerful motor, and it feels like you really get to make use of it. So I was like so mad, you know? I'm like, dude, this is like, I own a Sherman, so I don't think I would have bought the EXN, but had that not existed, I would have bought the EXN. That's how good the performance of that. And I joke that like, it was like an afterthought for them. Like the EX came out and it was like mixed reviews.
Definitely.
And then I feel like
it looked like that.
Yeah, it looked like they were like, my like, I know it's completely not true, but my sort of like tongue in cheek joke is like, I put out the video that New York City hates the EX, and I behind the scenes, Mr. Lin was like, take the suspension out. Take New York hates it. Take it out. And they just pulled the suspension
out. Get to the chopper.
And then they just dropped the thing back down with no suspension. And then they were like, send this to him. And then I got it. And I was like, whoa, this feels great. Obviously, that's probably not what happened. Yeah. But I like to pretend that's what happened behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, we can say it happened.
But I think there was a rumor of like a mini monster a while back. I think that's what the EXN is.
Yeah. I think like all in all, the EX looks like a design from like 2 years ago that was like always trying to be, you know, always to try put out. But they had all these other wheels that went out like in the meantime. Mm-hmm. So like I put this into the conclusion because it has just like a single charge port, right? At it has just a single light in the front, which is like not that powerful. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think all in all, it looks like the Monster Pro as well as the RS was developed like after the EX or EXN.
Right.
That's my thinking.
Interesting. Yeah, because of the design concept.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people really like the design of the EX and the EXN as far as like it kind of just feels like Iron Man, you know, on the front of it. It's got an interesting daytime headlamp
or
thing.
A gas stove. Yeah.
I never thought of that, but yes. When you turn it on.
No, it's even funnier. No, I'm just kidding.
No. More of those fire puns. Keep them coming.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, no, I try to not do it, but sometimes it just slips. I can't help myself with puns.
I think so. You know, back to the safety thing, I think you know, the biggest thing that I put it out in my video that these companies can very easily do is integrate a better smart BMS, which I think in my video I say that the term smart BMS has been widely overused for a long time. Like, just that just has like no meaning at this point. But you know, I have guys who, friends of mine who ride e-bikes here, and their BMS allows them to, from a few different applications, remote into it, and you can see each of the individual cells. You can see their health. Yeah. You can see what's wrong with it. You can tell it if something goes wrong what to do. Beyond that, you can even tell it to function. Now, I don't think they'd ever let us do this in EUCs, but you can tell it to function this way during cold weather, this way during warm weather, meaning you can set here's your cold weather.
Like a limit.
So it won't know that it's cold outside, but you can just say, oh, I picked profile. Like you can pick a cold. Okay, it's winter. I'm going to just ride in the cold profile or whatever. That way it would just help you, limit you, do all kinds of stuff. But this should be standard in all EUCs, because think about it. At the end of the day, none of us, it's blind. You don't know if something's wrong with your battery at all. But if you had a way to look at it before you went to bed, you'd go, oh, my battery looks fine. I can sleep easy tonight. I don't need to worry. Especially once it's off, it's not going to just become bad while off overnight. It's not a thing. Something bad will happen probably when it's running or whatever. And then you probably have a small or larger window for something catastrophic to happen. But you can see all of that, and you can tell it to balance your wheel. As of right now, what we have to do to balance is like leave it charged for a long time after 100.
Yeah.
Where in this app, you can tell it while charging before it hits 100, balance my cells. So this is something that my big push for 2021 is to get this integrated into every manufacturer's batteries. They need this kind of BMS. And when I spoke to my friend John about it in the video, he talks about how I told him, I said, you know, we've got multiple packs. So your e-bike has one giant, nice pack. Like, but sometimes we have four packs. And I was like, is that a problem? Like, do we have to have four BMS? And he was like, nope, not a problem at all. And in fact, you don't even need the BMS inside the battery. It can be outside the battery.
Yep.
And they can all be connected to one, and then it can monitor the health of everything still. And I was just like, man, now I'm really like, you guys have no excuse.
Yes, that's true.
This is my push, is I want everyone I know to like badger these companies and tell them we want this because it can prevent certain fires. So maybe your friend in Poland, well, I don't know if he's your friend, but
yeah,
he is. Might have seen, if he could just check on his app, that there was a problem.
Yeah.
If it was battery specifically related, he might have seen that there was like a short or whatever or something with the battery and go, maybe I shouldn't drive down the highway with this in the trunk.
There should be also like a temperature warning, like, you know, if one cell gets warmer than the other, or, you know, if the control board is like really hot, or just the, you know, inside compartment, it's just a little more time before you see the smoke, for example. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, so I think in those apps, you can see all that. You can see the temperature, you can see the voltage that the battery has. And it'll just make sure that you never have a like 10% discrepancy or whatever. You know, like I think that's the magic number of when fires start.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I would really like to see. Because it's not people are like, oh, it's probably just expensive for them to do. Oh, we're paying a lot of money for this.
No.
Like, I don't, like how.
It's also not that expensive.
And also like, I mean, not to ruin it for the rest of us, but I mean, I'll gladly pay a little bit more money to make sure I have that. Like, sacrifice some speed and range so I can have this safety, like this little feature for peace of mind. Like, sure, I'll take that.
Yep, yep. And the safe batteries too. Yeah, and the solderings.
Yeah. Is there anything else that you want to see as far as like safety or just like progress from these wheels in the future?
Yeah, like for sure. I love, like, for example, in the Sherman that you have the port in the back. I think we should move away from ports that are on the top of a wheel. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if something drips inside, water or whatever, just like a piece of wood or metal, like it doesn't stay there. Like, I had that happen to me once. Like, I charged the MSB and my friend, like, the charger just broke. So the pin from inside the charge port actually fell into the charge port of the MSB and started sizzling there. And I had to, you know, take it out.
How'd you get it out?
That just with my finger. Like, it wasn't that much amps. But, you know, that's dangerous, obviously.
Yeah.
Or I just pulled it out with something else, with a stick or something. But, yeah, it's dangerous. And the problem with, you know, Bugattis is that the charge board is directly connected into the battery and the BMS. So it's always, like, 100 volts. Like, if you want to do it with the Sherman, that doesn't happen. Like, there's no, like, spark.
And the Sherman, if you touch it with metal, does it prevent a short?
I think so. Like, I can check that, actually, later on. But I think so. That's one thing. But I would also move away from these GX16 or whatever ports.
Right.
Like, that you have all these rods sticking out. I think.
Yeah, you mentioned that in your video, right? Solution. The one that sort of looks like plastic with a design, like a upside down smiley face design or whatever, like that. So you can't get anything in there other than this specific charging.
Yeah, yeah.
Or I know
could
that
be something proprietary. Yeah.
Like some of the e-bikes use XLR. What about that?
Yeah, I think XLR is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I know that, like some of the Onyx bikes, that's like the big thing, and they.
Yep.
But yeah, something like, that's just not that
I had also a e-bike which has like a Bosch motor, like the cargo bike. And if you look at the port there, it's like ridiculous. Like, you want to charge this thing up, but you have like a proprietary port, which is like really deep pins. So they go like deeply inside. So there's like no possibility of less of a possibility for like water to ingress or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it has like 7 pins. And they're like this fat. So, you know, the ports are there. I think we just need to start, you know, using it. I think that's useful, but, you know, I might be wrong as well.
No, I think that's smart. I mean, I think what we probably see is just like what they all have just always done. So, like, as a consumer, you're not seeing the other options because you're just seeing what's on the wheel. So like they've all, like we saw that Kingsong went to that Lenovo flat charger thing, which seems like a bit of a step up, but I'm not really sure like what the rating is of those and how many, you know, how fast you can get those to charge.
I think
charge.
They can't push that much electricity through them though.
Yeah. So any, basically we want something that is going to prevent a short. That it's fine if it's proprietary. If, and I think they all should just like get together and like get drunk and go, let's all just decide to get this new thing. Like, why on the planet does that have to be proprietary? Like, for example, like, you know, Kingsong, I think, they still have the Lenovo, and then like the V11, I think, has it too, or whatever. Anyways, they all have different ones, and it's like, stop. Why?
You know what? I know it, Mickey. I've solved it. You get the cord that you put in, plug into your computer, like, or your laptop, like the one that goes from the outlet into the brick.
Yeah.
So you just take that, the charger is inside, and once you plug in the cord, you have to actually like turn on the charging. So you're like actively choosing to charge the wheel. And maybe that's it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. It just, there are certain things that are weirdly proprietary that you're like, this shouldn't. It should just be universal. Or like I've said for a long time, pedals should be universal. I should be able to use whichever pedal. Like I'm fine. Like some people like an InMotion pedal, or some people like a Gateway pedal. But the whole thing is like, I would like to be able to choose which one I want to put on my wheels.
It's like, and one more thing maybe is like a kill switch. So, you know, disconnects the batteries from the motherboard, or just disconnects all electricity just flows through the wheel.
Right, some way to do that. That'd be useful too if your wheel caught fire after you put out the flame, hit the kill switch. That way you know, okay, the battery is disconnected. Well, that's the thing.
At least like the packs.
Is, I think you talked about it too, the Sherman, when you disconnect and reconnect the batteries, there isn't the arc.
Yeah.
With the, I don't know how that works because I'm not an electrical engineer, but I've heard for sure that that's, I think I remember doing that when I went to go plug my Sherman back together. It was like
yes.
It's like I was
there
like,
was nothing.
Nothing.
But my friend did that too. He was also surprised.
The Monster Pro was the biggest arc ever. That was like my buddy was like, be prepared. I'm like, why? Because he's like repairs these stuff. And I was like, he's like, the arc is gonna be massive, those huge packs. And I was like, okay. And it was like, I'm like, oh, this freaks me out every time. I can't. Nothing happens, but it's just like, that shouldn't happen.
Yeah. Well, nothing happens, but I recently reassembled my MSX, and I think I messed up either the cables, or I messed up something, or I don't know, something was messed up. But I connected the battery cables, and then just, what is it called? These small fire thingies.
Like sparks?
Yeah, like sparks just started flying all over, like literally like all over, and it got on my hand, and I got a free depilation of my finger hair by Gateway.
Whoa.
And like my hand was like black on the top. So
weird.
Yeah, I think with a Sherman either way, like this wouldn't happen because they have this, I'll send you it maybe later via Messenger. It's like an ILR or something. It's like a small device that has the fuse inside and the balancing stuff.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the like fuse. It's in a little its own box in the on the Sherman.
Yeah. That's the thing. Yeah.
It's like a flux capacitor. It's like Back to the Future.
Yes, the flux capacitor. 88 miles an hour.
But yeah, I think overall we've kind of talked about a lot of interesting ideas. That if you guys are listening, all you manufacturers, please comb through our channels and listen closely to the safety things,
because
we do care. I don't want to have to worry about. You know, remember it was a big thing when Samsung phones were catching fire? It was like Samsung really
Note 7.
Took a hit for a little while. Then they were like, we fixed it. We promise. And people were still like, we'll see. You just shouldn't have to worry about this kind of stuff. It should just, at this point, we're like 5-7 years or something into the game of these things being like bought by consumers. Like, still baby, right? It's like, imagine this, a car 7 years after the car was invented, still baby, but there's just little things that you shouldn't have to worry about, just like it just exploding as you ride down the street or something.
Yeah, definitely. But I think still, like, EUCs are ahead of, like, technology, like, all in all in general, when it comes to, like, other PEVs as well. Like, you know, except for the DIY stuff, obviously, like DIY e-bikes or something, they can choose whatever they want. But, you know, like, you wish for an app, like, in a power scooter, like Wolf Warrior, like, forget about it.
I'm not sure if, well, I guess InMotion kind of has this, but, like,
Yeah, but I mean like a power scooter, like not the not the small ones.
Yeah, I was gonna say that I think that like it would be interesting to have the ability to like mess with the acceleration curve, like the people who have e-bikes who they even the non DIY ones you can play with that and work out how you want it to function. With EUC, just a bit more difficult because like they might just have to give us some options. It won't be complete customizing. I'm pretty sure the V11, they did like a thing where it was like they asked everybody, how do you want the battery to function the lower you get? And I think some people were mad about how that turned out. But yeah, it'd be cool to see like a potential of allowing us to mess with the acceleration curve in some fashion in the future. Yeah. Just to, you know, maybe someone like, e-bikes are cool to me. The joke around New York is I have an allergy to them because when I get on them, bad things happen.
Okay.
So, like, you know, maybe some, like myself, if I get on an e-bike, at least for now, because I'm not like a hardcore owner and rider, I would want the most docile, relaxed acceleration curve that exists. maybe someone on EUC wants that, right? Maybe they want that compared to something else. Maybe it'd be good to have the option. Fascinating potential.
They also have it on the e-skate, right? Like you can also get the acceleration curve, like, you know, that you hold the throttle for, I know, 2 seconds and then you get the most acceleration or whatever.
Right.
Like, probably it would be like a pedal dip and then you accelerate. I don't know. Maybe it's the medium, soft and hard presets on ESCs. I know.
Right. Well, this has been really cool talking about safety. Is there anything else you're looking forward to this year in our very nerdy world?
Like, I think I want to move to the US. Like, yeah.
Really?
I think, yes. Yeah, I want to do that, like, for sure. Like, I think just there's, like, way more possibilities and stuff, and the community is bigger than here. Like, you know, I enjoy the stuff here, but... Like, I would want to go out on a bike trail somewhere, and I just really don't like the safety on roads in Poland. It's, like, really bad. It's, like, ridiculously bad, and it's so bad. Like,
yeah, I think we've talked a little bit about that. It's, like...
Yeah, like, people in the city, they just go, you know, 60 miles an hour on a one-way road, and... It's crazy how bad it is. Like, people are dying every day and nobody does anything about it.
Interesting.
But, and I really, like, want to, like, experience the community there. I obviously want to meet all of you guys there, and here it's, like, not really possible.
So where would you consider moving to if you, like, where in the States?
Like, I was thinking about several cities, actually, but the most probably I would like to go to San Francisco, because there's a lot of hills there.
Yeah, and hills. Community is very big there.
Yeah, right. Kevin is also there from Alien Rides. But I was also thinking about LA, you know, obviously New York as well. You're there, and Sean and the gang, the Speed Gang. So that'd be really cool.
I think California or Southern California would be a weird, like, just different thing for you in this sense of, like, I would imagine where you are, you don't need to have a car if you're a huge EUC guy. Like, you can just go ride wherever, get to wherever, do your thing. Yeah. Where San Francisco and New York are similar in the sense that, like, you don't need to drive somewhere to ride. But Southern California is very much a place where, like, you couldn't just commute around on it unless you live downtown LA. For you wouldn't want to be honest, but and you only lived there and didn't need to go too far, it's wildly expensive and there's nothing going on there. And California sucks right now because of these restrictions, but they're the most strict state. But like where Kevin is, San Francisco, depending on where you live, if you're basically inside the city, like you can just use an EUC to commute everywhere, kind of like New York.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. So that's a good tip. I mean, I lived already a bit in LA a while ago, but like for different reasons, and I didn't have even a car then, just, you know, public transport, and obviously that sucked a bit. But yeah, I was mostly thinking about these three cities. I know also I heard that Austin is like getting big or something.
Oh, it's, but I would say Austin is like done for, like in like a hipster sense of like Austin was getting big a while ago. It is now big. It's like over. So it's funny because now it's like super expensive to live there. So this happens in a lot of big cities. So like, I mean, New York has always just kind of been expensive, but San Francisco over the after Silicon Valley developed just became wildly expensive and everyone wanted to move there for tech jobs and stuff. And then Portland, Oregon became like another kind of tech capital. And now that's just overpriced, too expensive, overpopulated. Now, a lot of the people who lived in Portland moved to the suburbs outside of it. Austin was probably like 5-10 years ago the place that everyone was considering moving to, and it blew up. The weird part about Texas, because I have friends who are from there, they say that like after Austin became huge, everybody wanted to live there. They never upgraded the infrastructure of like the highways, so the traffic is just awful on the local highways. But yeah, that is like a big city. I've been to Austin, and you actually probably could commute around on an EUC in Austin. That would be interesting. We don't really have anyone in Texas that's like on the map, right?
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Yeah, I would probably want to be in a place where there's also like other UC communities. So, you know, San Francisco, New York.
Right. I think San Fran is a potential great one for you. But again, it's like San Francisco is more expensive than New York. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah, like... it is probably the most expensive city in America right now, but you should talk to Kevin about it. And Kevin also, I think, has like a really nice tech job, so he I don't think he's worried about it. But I think if you're a full-time YouTuber, depending on how much you're bringing in, it might be a bit of a struggle. I don't know.
Steep. Okay.
I don't know how your finances work, but I'm just saying it's pretty expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, like that's probably the biggest upside of living here in Warsaw. It's like really cheap.
Right. Yeah. So like there was a documentary that came out a while back on, I think, Netflix. It was called like San Francisco 2.0. And it was just, this was a few years back when they were just describing like just the financial jump and what happened to the city and how all the like regular San Francisco artist types got completely pushed out because it was like, you know, studio apartments for $7,000 a month, you know. It's like, it just got wild. Yeah. I mean, there was probably other cheaper spots, but just the fact that one of those exists is just crazy. Mm. Like in America, just for reference, like it, like if you had like a $300,000 home somewhere in the suburbs, your mortgage might be something like $1,200-1,500 a month. And you'd have like a house with like a pool and like, $7,000 if your mortgage was $7,000 a month, I mean, that's you have a mansion. So just consider the fact that any place, New York has those too. We have $7,000 studios. They're really nice.
Yeah, I believe.
But it's still a studio. I mean, you're probably 1,000 square feet might be the max in New York for a $7,000 luxury. But like, yeah, you've got like 1,000 square feet of a giant room for $7,000 a month. That's just, again, there's variations. It's not, I'm not saying all studios in San Fran and New York are 7,000. That's a more luxury, but still, this like sign of the times when that exists.
Got you.
But that's exciting. I mean, that'd be cool. Love to see you move over here.
I'd love to do that.
Do you have a
lots of my audience is from the US as well, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Do you have a rough time frame? I'm sure COVID threw some of that off the rails.
Yeah. I mean, it just sort of came up because, you know, I also got like a job offer or something, so.
Oh, cool. In the US?
This is also, yeah, it's also still in the works, but, you know, when time comes and everything like just goes according to the plan, then I'll tell everyone about it. But, sweet. Yeah.
Is the job offer something you have to physically be there, or is it like, could you be remote?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I'm still talking about the options, so.
Gotcha.
Maybe this, maybe that. I don't know. We'll see. It's all still in the works. So, yeah.
Right on.
But it would be really, really cool. I mean, I would really like that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there's just so many opportunities to do stuff there, you know, just to also, like, develop products and, you know, ride with you guys. So, that'd be really cool.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a good place to end it on exciting news of potentially moving over here at some point. Thank you so much for hanging out. This has been cool.
Thanks, Mickey.
Talking about
it's been great.
Super nerdy stuff. I'm sure Gotway's gonna
that's what we
hate
do.
Us after this, but
yeah,
you can do better, Gotway. We believe in you.
Yeah, we believe in you. Like just fix a couple of things and we'll buy your wheels.
Yeah,
again.
They said in their little letter. They said they listed the things that they're from the ground up. They're gonna reassess. So. If true, that's fantastic.
Fingers crossed. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you again for coming on. And
thanks.
I'm sure we'll have you on in the future at some point.
Yeah. Nice. Thanks, Mickey.
All right. I'll talk to you a little later.
Right on.
Bye-bye. Thank you again, guys, for watching this episode of the Evolution Podcast. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel to see this, go ahead and subscribe down below if you're here on YouTube. If you're not, if you're on any of the other audio platforms, be sure to, is it subscribe or follow? Whichever they say, subscribe, follow, whichever it is. That way you can be notified of when new episodes come out. Generally speaking, I've got about 2 coming out a month, so stay tuned for that. So yeah, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. And leave a comment or rate the podcast if you're on any audio platform, whether it's iTunes or Spotify or whichever one is your preferred choice audio listening. Please leave us a 5-star review if you like, or whatever you want, and let us know what you think. Thanks again.